No, I do love superheroes, okay? I do love superhero movies. But I wonder what your favourite is. Superman? Spider-Man? The Hulk? Who is your favourite superhero? There's so many to choose from, isn't there? If you think about the movies that superheroes are in, they bring hope and they often bring peace, don't they? Well, of course, unless you're a DC fan, it just seems to be totally lost on me. I'm not a fan of DC, but some people are, and it seems to be hopeless. But actually, if you watch the Marvel ones, there's always a superhero figure, isn't there? It's so great. Now, we love it because they combat evil, don't they? They see what's going wrong, and they use their abilities to help protect and care for those who need help. We admire them because, well, they seem to do the impossible. Some kids look at their parents like superheroes, especially when they're little. My kids have outgrown that stage, unfortunately. But they think their parents can do anything, that they're more powerful than anyone. They'll protect you at any cost, won't they? But no matter how great a superhero is or how great your parents are, there's usually something that means they are not all-powerful. If you think about Superman, well, kryptonite, sorry, he's down on the ground. Iron Man, you know, without that power station in his chest, he's really nothing, is he? And then Hulk, well, yes, he's very strong, but, I mean, he's just totally out of control, isn't he? They all have a way of failing in their ability. Now, coming a bit closer to home, we could think about political leaders. Some of them have incredible power. Our friends in North America are usually talked about as having the most powerful man in the world ruling their country. But it has more to do with control over how many people he has control over. And so even though he might be the most powerful man in the world, he's still limited to in some ways. And I think as we look at the power that humans and superheroes have, we realise that we can see that they're really nothing compared to the greatness of God. We're looking at today a can-do anything God. You could even say that we're looking at the almightiness of God, and theologically we'd call him the omnipotent God. Omni meaning all and or complete, and then in this case today, all powerful, potent, omnipotent. Now to do this, we're going to look at the third section of the psalm that we've been looking at. This is the third strophe, if you want to get some technical terms under your belt, verses 13 to 18. I've actually put it in the bulletin for today. It's pretty small, but you can see it there in that outline. You might want to open a Bible to have a look at Psalm 139, and we'll have a look at what it says about our great God. Just to remind you, we've had three sermons in Psalm 139. We've looked at three aspects, and this is the third aspect of our great God. We're looking at doctrine of God. Now, as you look over verses 13 to 18, what we see is David praising God for bringing him into existence. Look at verse 13. It says, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb." And it's amazing, isn't it? The formation of the human body down to the innermost parts, God has created him. And David's saying that the creation of every person belongs to God. We know the science. We know the biology of what's going on. But David says all of this is the work of the Lord. He's the one who has power over what we know as biology and science, and he's the one who's created each person in the womb. David says here that God has created his inmost being, the very deep parts that is almost beyond comprehension. Now think about our DNA for a moment. You're going to get some great stats today because we're talking about the human body. You've got some for Fiona already. Hopefully mine don't contradict Fiona's. We'll see what Google has to say about this. Think about our DNA for a moment. Yeah, if you were to, this is what I read, if you were to uncoil all the DNA from every cell in a single human body and stretch it out end to end, it would reach from the Earth to the Sun and back approximately 600 times. Okay? That's about 90 billion kilometres, which is just a ridiculously long distance. And it's all packed into microscopic cells that form who you are today. Now, we're looking at the all-powerful God, and we're told that God is deeply involved in putting humans together, putting all this DNA together. God created our inmost being. That's what David is saying. And in the next line, like we see in most Psalm, it repeats the first line, but it then uses different words, doesn't it? Not the same words, but it makes an even grander and a version of the first verse and amplifies it. Look at the second half of that verse. It says, "You knit me together in my mother's womb." Instead of create, now we have knit. Rather than my inmost being, we have in my mother's womb. And David's saying that God is involved in the creation of humans from conception to birth. God is there, knitting each one of us together. It's talking about the power of God in humanity. He's intricately involved in knitting each person together. Now, as you look at the logic of the psalm, we see that there's a progression, isn't there? In verse 13, it starts with the word "for." Now, you could use the word "because" there as well. And what it's doing is it's pointing us back to the previous two sermons that we've seen in the Psalms. It's pointing us back and saying, well, yes, God knows everything and God is everywhere. And now in verse 13, because of that, well, this is all true because you knit me in my mother's womb. You see and know everything. And so you can knit me in my mother's womb. It's showcasing the power of God. God knows everything. God's everywhere present. And now we see that he can do these things because he is all powerful. And the response in this psalm is right, isn't it? Look at verse 14. It says there, "I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." When we look at our bodies, we see the greatness of God. Now, I'm not saying when you look in the mirror that you see a perfect body. In fact, you're probably thinking the opposite, aren't you? You're probably thinking, oh, I wish I had that perfect body. Many of us are ashamed of our bodies, aren't we? We cover them up, we buy the right clothes, we try and make ourselves look as good as possible so that actually no one can see our body. But I'm not talking about what you look like in the mirror. I'm talking about how your body is knit together like some amazing tapestry. Think about your brain for a moment. Apparently it weighs around 1.4 kilos. It generates enough electricity to power an LED light. But it has around 86 billion neurons. Each one capable of forming tens of thousands of connections. It creates this vast network of allowing information to travel up to speeds of 430 kilometres an hour. Well, it certainly leaves NBN for dead. But then its storage capacity is virtually unlimited, constantly creating new connections through thought and memory. You know, when you buy a new phone, you've got to make sure you get the right size. You don't want to get one that's just you know, one size too small. But the human brain, well, it's limitless. Able to store so many things. We've done all there, waiting to be accessed. That's your brain. It's like that movie Inside Out. I don't know if you've seen that. It's a great picture of what's going on inside the human brain. Now, it's probably fiction. I don't think I've got little people sitting inside my head. But the brain's got so much going on, hasn't it? And it's quite incredible. Our bodies show us the greatness of God. What about your heart? The heart is an incredibly resilient and powerful organ. It beats around 100,000 times a day, pumps about 7,500 litres of blood every single day. Now, I don't know if you know how big 7,500 litres is, but it's a tank about this high and about 2.5 metres wide. That's a lot of blood. In an average lifetime, the heart will beat more than 2.5 billion times, continuously circulating blood through around 96,560 kilometres of blood vessels. Enough to wrap around the earth a few times. Let's just leave it there. See, isn't this in four times, was it? Four times. But our bodies are amazing, aren't they? Our bodies show us the greatness of God. And so what we read here in this psalm is that we should praise God. Look again at verse 14. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And this is you. You are fearfully and wonderfully made. Even with all your imperfections, the parts you don't like, the parts you do like, all of it shows that you are amazing. Our bodies show us the greatness of God. And so we praise God. We say, your works are wonderful. I know that full well. God has the power to put you together, and he has put you together. And verses 15 and 16 then make a picture of humanity even larger. It says, my frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place. When I was woven together in the depths of the earth, your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. And again, it's pulling things that we've already seen about our all-knowing and everywhere present God. There's nothing hidden. God is even in that secret place, woven together in the depths of the earth. Now, we looked at this word last week, but this time the depths don't refer to, well, the depths of hell, but this time the depths are a picture of beauty. The depths are a woman's womb. The inner sanctuary where each child is put together. Each one of us was put together there by God. And the psalm says, God was there, intimately involved in each one of us, creating us, forming us, watching over us, preparing life for us. That's a picture of our all-powerful God. And it's as you think about God's power and how he has put us together, that he was involved in every detail of our lives, that you step back and think, well, he's done all of this for so many people for so many years, and it becomes just staggering to think about. That God can know each person and have an intimate knowledge of all people, see where they are at any day in their lives, and know their thoughts and words, and he knows us better than we know ourselves. And when I think about it, then verse 17 and 18 becomes clearer. Look at them with me, verse 17 and 18. How precious to me are your thoughts, O God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I'm still with you. Again, a picture of God's power, his knowledge of all things, too, so great, far greater than we can comprehend. His thoughts outnumber the grains of sand because there are far too many. This is our all-powerful God. And the psalm is a glimpse into that power through the creation of humanity. One part of his creation. And as we think about that, I want to remind us why this is important to understand. See, we've been looking at our doctrine of God. Now, this is the third aspect of God that we've seen in this series. There's lots of aspects, but these are just three of them. So let's summarise just quickly what we've seen in these three aspects. But as we do, we need to realise that although we've looked at these three omni-attributes of God, we need to remember that each part of who God is cannot be separated from one another so neatly. And I found that as I've been reading about the three omnis, I keep bumping into so many things that overlap and intertwine, and that's the same over here. They're like all the other attributes of God. They become inseparable from Him. They're ways of describing God as a whole, but we can't define God by all these little details. And what it has led me to see is that the omni attributes are ways of speaking about God's lordship of our lives. See, the word Lord is used around 7,000 times in the Bible to name God. The equivalent, the theological term sovereignty is equivalent to lordship. And the Bible defines God's lordship as His control, authority and presence, which is actually what we've looked at in these three omni-sermons, His control, authority and presence. So what now? There are many more aspects of God, but these three that we've seen from this one psalm all point out the greatness of God. So why is that important? Why is it important to know that God is all-knowing, all-present and all-powerful? Well, first, I think it helps us to praise Him properly. As we learn about God is, as his creation is revealed to us, it shows us just how amazing He is. As we take in who God is, we realize how small we are and how great He is. And it feeds our praise and our worship of God. Second, it helps us to realize that He is God and that we're not. In some ways, this might take us back to our sinful nature. In our hearts, we believe that we're good, that we are not evil, that we're not even bad. But the Bible speaks about us being enemies of God. And as we learn about our great and awesome God and how wonderful He is, it tells us that we are not like Him. It tells us that we need Him. It tells us that we can't rely on ourselves, but we need to rely on God. That's the second way. The third reason why is that we see that God is able to do anything. He's able to fill you with His Spirit. He's able to show you Himself. This is what salvation is all about. God filling you with His Spirit and you responding to Him in faith. And this is God's work in you. Him being all-powerful means that He is able to do it. If you're not following Jesus and you pray and ask Jesus to fill you with His Spirit, well, He will do it. And He can do it because He is able. He is all-powerful. And God is even able to take a bad situation that we're in and use it for good. We know about Joseph in the Bible. When things went bad for him, he ended up in a prison in a foreign land, but God used it for good. He used that event to save the nation of Israel because God is able. And knowing that God is able to do so much is really important, especially when it comes to prayer. Ian Bounds said, "Prayer is the easiest and the hardest of all things, the simplest and the sublimest, the weakest and the most powerful. Its results lie outside the range of human possibilities. They are limited only by the omnipotence of God." In other words, we are limited, but God is able. God is all-powerful and able to answer all our prayers. And so we go to God in prayer. We go to God because He is able. We go to God because He is omnipotent and He is willing to hear and listen to our prayers. So pray. Pray and ask because God is able. Now, these are just a few ways that we can know God and the reasons why it's important to know His greatness. But one thing we really haven't looked at is this idea that humans have that absolute power corrupts absolutely. And we're talking about a God who has absolute power. There have been many countries around the world where they've tried to implement some form of government, and inevitably those in power treat themselves with more favour than anyone else, and the whole system just gets undermined by the very leaders who try and implement it. Now, I'm not making any suggestions about what government we should have and what works best. But when power is attained, it's often abused. That's why we have that saying. And that happens in any system. And it would be easy for us to look at that when it happens in the world and then say, and then apply that same corrupt nature to God and say, what? People are scared of a God who is all powerful because that means he is able to do anything. There's no stopping him. But it's for this very reason that we need to know that while God is all powerful, that he is all holy as well. See, those last few verses of the chapter, verses 19 to 24, give a picture of a wrong response to God, don't they? Those who don't listen to God are seen as God's enemies. And it tells us that there, and what it shows us is that there's a God who is holy and demands holiness. And a holy God can only have holiness in his presence. Now, I've talked about God being able to do anything, but in some ways, this is where God is limited. See, God cannot go outside his nature. He is bound by what his perfect nature allows him to do. So he cannot lie. He will always act justly. He will always act with mercy. And he will always act with love. Because this is who God is. His all-powerful nature means that he can do anything while also adhering to his perfect sinless nature. And this fits into where we want to land all this all-powerful God for today. So I want you to turn to Romans for a moment, to Romans 5, verses 1 and 2. And what we're going to see here in Romans is that God is powerful to justify those who are sinners. Romans chapter 5, verses 1 and 2. And it says this. It says, therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have gained access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. It takes us to the cross of Jesus Christ. So if we think about Jesus and why he came, I imagine that people might say, well, if God is all powerful and he can do anything, well, why not forgive everyone? Why not set everyone free? Why did your son have to die on a cross? That's the real question, isn't it? Why did Jesus have to die for our sins if Jesus is all powerful? Well, it's because his nature demanded payment for sin. He couldn't just declare everyone right. There had to be payment for our sin. The three omnis of God all point out one big thing about our God, and that is he is a holy God. Let's think about another amazing fact of your body, your skin this time. Did you know that your skin is your body's largest organ, covering over 1.8 square metres? Now, maybe that's different depending on how high you are. It's not just a protective layer, it's constantly regenerating. About 30 to 40,000 dead skin cells every minute, which means you replace your entire outer layer of skin approximately every 28 days. Lovely, isn't it? Your mattress is going crazy. Over a lifetime, you'll shed around 40 to 50 kilos of skin. If only losing weight was that easy, eh? This constant renewal is a protective layer against illness, disease, and even temperature. You have an amazing body. And as Jesus went to the cross, he covered over all your sins. He paid for each one of them with his blood. And he says to you, believe in me, trust me, know my forgiveness. And as you think about this, remember, he is all powerful. Meaning he's able to forgive the greatest of sinners because he is the greatest of saviors. Let's pray. Father God, we give you thanks for today, for your word. To us in this psalm, you are an amazing God. We've seen how amazing our bodies are, and you are the creator of our bodies. And so we praise and thank you for giving us your Son. We ask that you help us to trust in you. Give us your peace. We are your people and we want to follow you. Lord, give us hearts for you. Give us hearts for you and your word and this church. Lord, we pray that we may be people who can see that you can do anything. And we pray for those around us who don't know you, Lord. And we ask that you open their hearts to receive Jesus as their Lord, Lord of their life. Lord, thank you for preparing us well and preparing us for a life lived with you. And we pray all this in the strong name of Jesus. Amen.